your first time with us, we're so excited you're with us this morning, and I just pray that you are encouraged through the worship, and as the Spirit of God is moving in this place, you're in the right place today because it's cold out there and it's warm in here. Amen? Isn't it cold out there? Come on, you guys should be Canadians. Minus 35 is nothing for you. It's cold out there. God is good. This morning I want to share with you on the provision of God. The provision of God. We're going to be found in the text of 1 Kings chapter 17. We're going to be going through all the verses of 1 Kings chapter 17. So have your Bibles open to 1 Kings chapter 17. And also, if you don't have your Bible with you and you need a Bible and you can't afford buying a Bible, just come and see one of us at the end of the service. We'll be gladly to purchase one for you because we don't want you to leave the house of God without the Word of God. The Word of God is the most important thing, one of the most important things in our lives, and we need the Word of God to have it close by us daily. So I encourage you, if you don't have a Bible, come and see us. We will definitely give you a Bible. We were going to... When life changes, when things happen in life, things happen like choices that you didn't want to make, and all of a sudden everything shifts away. What are we going to stand when life shifts? Where are we going to stand where life shifts? Life is full of changes. Life is full of transitions. Example, loss of a job and then getting a new job. Loss of a loved one. Maybe some of you have a new baby. There's all of us new transition. Everyone goes through transition every single day of life, day after day, month after month, year after year. Whatever it is, transition is always there. Am I the only one who gets transition? Life is full of various types of changes and transition. The question is we experience it? Yes, we do. We will always experience transition. The question is, we need to ask ourselves, whenever we face changes of life, whenever we face situations of life or transitions in our life, how are we going to stabilize our hearts in transition or change? Because when changes happen, when transitions happens, we have to stand. We need to stabilize our heart on the right path. Because if we don't stabilize our heart, we're not going to enjoy change. And we're not going to like transition in life. Every one of us in this place will face transition. Am I the only one who faces transition? Every single day, we will face something. So this morning, through the Word of God, I want to encourage you, how are we going to stabilize our heart through transition? Every person on planet Earth will experience change, like it or not. However, we as Christians know the one who does not change, the one who has never changed, and that is God Himself. We should understand, the people of God should understand that God should not and will always be there in times of transition, will always be there in times of change in life. He is there because He's an unchangeable God. That's one of His character. He has never changed and He will never change. Life changes, things change, situation changes, but God remains the same. So when transition comes in our life, where are we going to get? The source is God Himself. And He will help us overcome the transitions of our life today. He will do it. We have a God who doesn't change, and He will never change. The immutability of God is an attribute that God is unchanging in His character, will, and covenant promises. In James 1:17, and every generous act of every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. With Him, there is no variation or shadow cast by turning. Our God does not change. That's the God that you and I serve this morning. A God that never changes. He gives the best gift from above. Are you with me this morning? God is almighty, having all power. God is omnipotent, having all power. God is omnipresent, present everywhere. God is omniscient, knows everything. Church, your theology this morning will determine your stability in this changing world. Many of you, some of you ask, what is theology? I don't have theology. We're all theologians here this morning, and I will explain you why. Theology is broken up into two words. In the Greek words of theos, logia. In the Latin word of theologia. In the French word, theologie. In English, logi. And then in the late Middle English, theology. It means, theo means God, and logos means word. The study of the nature of God or religious belief. What we believe about God will determine how we cope with change. You and I believe in a God. Amen? You have theology. You know there is a God out there. So there's a theology out there, the belief, a religious belief. So you and I are all theologians this morning. And you might say, no, Pastor. Yes, you have heard the beliefs of God this morning. Whether they're stated or unstated, and if those beliefs that you have about God are tethered to the truth of the Word of God, will provide your heart stability in the midst of shifting or changes of life. Feather to the truth. Hold on to that truth. Chain up to that truth like the yoke and the oxen. Hold on to the Word of God. That will bring you the stability when there's transition in your life. Are you with me this morning? The Word of God is important in your life. We were talking about that last week. You must be armed. And when you're armed, you become dangerous. You become dangerous in your prayer. You become dangerous in casting out things or going overcoming spiritual oppression because you are armed with the Word of God. You need that sword in your life to defeat and to fight this dark world. My friend, when transition comes, my church, my people, my all of that's God's people, but my children, my friends, God is telling you this. Hold on to the Word of God. When shift comes, when changes comes, that's the only thing that will stabilize your heart in this changing world. But those beliefs that you have about God, whether stated or unstated, are tethered to the winds of man or opinions or culture, your heart will be tossed on every wave of change that hits you. My goal for you this morning is to hold on and to chain ourselves to God's Word as we experience change in our life. This morning we're going to look at some truths of God using the character and the person of Elijah as an example. It's a story that we know very well. We must have read it hundreds of times. But you know I like to present the text in a different way. We're going to look at it verse by verse in the whole chapter of 17 briefly so we can finish the whole chapter together. Because it can take a long time. The first truths about God found in 1 Kings chapter 17. God provides in the midst of change. God provides in the midst of change. Don't you ever believe in the lie of the enemy because of changes happen that God is not in control. Remember, God is always in control. Though as human beings look at it to say, how can that be? But just trust and believe that God provides in the midst of change. Hold on to that truth, God provides. Story of Elijah is in three scenes. Three scenes, and it centers on the provision of God. Not only are there three scenes, but there's a pattern, an example of 1 Kings chapter 17. And you and I are going to go through three scenes, and in every scene you will see the same pattern. God's word comes, God's word is obeyed, and God's word provides. So three scenes, we're going to look at three different scenes in the same pattern in every scene. We're going to read it together. God's word comes, and then after God's word comes, God's word is obeyed, and once it is obeyed, God's word provides. That's what we're going to look at today. A pattern. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. Let's read it together. Now Elijah, the Tishbite, from, you know why I say let's read it together? Because some of the words I can't pronounce it. So let's go on together. Verse 1. Sing it again. Read it again. Now Elijah and the Tishbite said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, I stand before him. There will be no dew or rain during these years except by my command. Now you got to look at the word Ahab for a moment right there. Who was Ahab? Ahab was one of the line of increasingly evil kings of Israel history. Starting with the region of Jeroboam, King Ahab did more evil in the eyes of the Lord than the other kings before him. But his primary problem was, you know who? His wife. Because his wife was Jezebel. Oh, the evil spirit. Oh, Jezebel came and corrupted Ahab. She corrupted Ahab. And because of his marriage to a pagan woman, Ahab devoted himself to the worship of the false gods Baal. We know the story. Jezebel was from Sidon. And we're going to look at that together later on. There's something important about even that word there. Sidon was the heartland of Baal worshipers. It was a heart of Baal worshipers and a god, as if the rain or not, a god of rain. The god you cry out to. You wanted the rain. They wanted the rain to go come down so the ground will be soft and it will provide crops. So this is where Ahab comes. He was married to Jezebel, and Jezebel was an evil person, and you know that, and corrupted. They got married together, and now Ahab became an evil person himself here. But Elijah's mission was very clear. His mission was to prove which God was the right God, the one true God. And we all know the story later on. But even though if you look at Elijah's name, the Lord is my God. So when a prophet's name means the Lord is my God comes in a room in verse 1 to King Ahab, and the one who's abandoned the Lord, because Ahab was with the Lord and he abandoned the Lord, now worships the God of rain, this prophet looks at him and tells him, it will not rain until I say it will rain. Man, a lot of courage, you got to go there. But he knew the God that he serves, the one true God. So in a nutshell, it was a showdown between the one true God and the God of Baal. This is the setting of Elijah's story in chapter 17 in verse 1. So the first scene is found. We'll look at it. I'm just giving the first verse. Now the first scene we're going to find in verses 2 to verses 6. Remember, we've got to look at God's word comes, then God's word is obeyed, and then God's word is provided. Okay, that's what we're going to look at together. So just follow me as we're going to read. So verse 2. If we look at verse 2, then here, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, get away from here and turn eastward and hide in the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. It will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. Now, here's the first thing. The word of the Lord came. Okay, the word of the Lord comes to us on a daily thing when we read the word of God. Am I right? When we read the word of God, it speaks to us. But look at this as it goes on. And it tells them to go eastward. You have to understand that word, the author is trying to make us understand eastward. Do you know eastward of Jordan? Okay, if we look at it eastward and go, which flows into the Jordan. Now, eastward, they came out of there because it was a place of wilderness. Why is God telling him to go back eastward where there's wilderness, where there's a problem? There was nothing happening over there, and God tells him to go eastward. Now, it doesn't make any sense to you that you're in a good place now, you're happy, and all of a sudden God tells you to go back where you came from. You would think twice. You would think three times. You would think four times. But Lord, I am doing your will, and you want me to go back eastward. Doesn't make any sense. You got to understand where eastward is they came out of there. It was the place of wilderness at that time there. And he went to that place, and all of a sudden, the word of the Lord came to Elijah and went eastward. Get away from here and turn eastward and hide. And hide by the brook which flows into the Jordan. But despite of all of the command, Elijah not only receives the word of God, but he actually obeys to the word of God and goes to the direction where God has called him to go. So he went. In verse 5 it tells us, so he went and did according to the word of God. So he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. Elijah did not hesitate. He just went and obeyed exactly what he did, what God had told him to do. He just obeyed the word of God. And then we go on in verse 6. We go on, we see the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. So this was scene number one. God's word came, God's word was obeyed, and now God provided. You see that scene, the way the pattern is? God's word came, he obeyed, and God provided. Let's look. Here again, Elijah had breakfast in his bed. It's just amazing how God provided for him. I'm getting to my point here in the scenes, all the scenes. Scene number two is found in verses 7 to 16. Again, we see God's word comes, God's word is obeyed, and God's word provides. Here it is, verse 7. And it happened after a while. Then the brook dried up. It doesn't make any sense, God. You send me there, I'm drinking from this brook, and all of a sudden it dries up. God sees that. God at times seizes things in your life and my life for one reason. So we can look at the source is in himself, not at the normal basic needs of every day. So here it is. Dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Again, then the word of the Lord came to him saying, arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. Now you have to look. Sidon is a place, is an evil land, because Jezebel came from there. Now why all of a sudden God tells him to go to the place where it is evil? They worship the god of rain. Here is all of a sudden, God speaks to him again. Word of God came to him. And we continue in verses 8, 9, and then we see verse 10. What did he do? He arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please bring me water in a cup that I may drink. If you can go on, you will see it. So God's word came. He went, he obeyed, and now God is providing again. It's amazing how God, see the pattern here? When God speaks, if we obey, he will provide. When God speaks, if we are obedient to the word of God, he will provide. We will not go wrong. That's biblical. That is in the scriptures. It's not me saying that up. And you're going to see, it's going to go on. If you look at, what verse am I there now? Verse 10. We go on. God provides Elijah through a widow now. So verse 10, we see that. And then goes, bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. In verse 11, as she was going to get it, he called to her, please bring me a morsel of bread, a piece of bread in your hand. So she said, as the Lord your God lives, I don't have bread, only a handful of flour in the bin. And a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son that we may eat and die. Like, it doesn't make any sense if you really read it. You understand what that verse is telling you there? That you may eat and die? That doesn't make any sense. So what she's trying to say to this widow, I'm just collecting some sticks. I have some oil. I have some flour. I'm going to prepare myself because after this, I'm going to die of starvation, oh my son. It's my last meal that I'm going to do. And you're asking me to provide food for you. It doesn't make any sense. But he says, no, God, thus saith the Lord. You give me a piece of bread. You give me some water. And all of a sudden, God provided for him. But not only that, God also provided for the widow at the time. If you continue reading, you will see how God provided for her every single day. God provided food for her and her son. The widow was very poor. She had nothing to live upon but a handful of meal and a little oil, needy at best. And now Elijah comes along and asks for this piece of bread. And she responded, I'm gathering a couple of sticks so that I may go and prepare it for myself and my son so that I may eat and hide. We see that because this is my last time I have this, I'm going to die with starvation after this. This is verse 13. After Elijah said to her, do not fear, go and do as you have said, but make a small cake from it first and bring it to me, and afterward make some of yourself and your son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used, nor the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. Then the widow receives that and makes some bread, and sure enough, God provides for the, also for the widow and the son. The word not only came to Elijah, but the word also came to the widow as she obeyed, thus saith the Lord. She obeyed and did this, give this piece of bread and some water to feed Elijah. Verse 15 and 16. So when he went away, he did according with the Lord, the word of Elijah, according to the word of Elijah. And she and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he has spoken by Elijah. So we see again in the scene, God's word comes, God's word is obeyed, and God provided. We see that scene. Try to follow me this morning. We're going to get to the point. It's amazing how God uses the word of God to instruct us. It is amazing. Obey, God's word will come. But the problem is that God's word comes to all of us daily, every single day, but we have a hard time to obey. But once we obey the word of God, when he tells us, guaranteed, he will provide. Guaranteed. We see it through Elijah. We see it through the widow, and we're going to see it even in our lives. And many of us have seen the provision of God in your life. And many of us have seen the provision of God in your family's life because you have obeyed what the Lord of God told you to do. Amen? Here it is. Scene number three. There's a little twist to the story now here. God provides a piece of bread for Elijah, the widow, and the son. All of a sudden, the widow gets ill, gets sick, and dies. It didn't make any sense. You provided, you give food to the son, you give food to this widow, and all of a sudden the son dies. Doesn't make any sense when we look at that. God, you give me that thing, you give me everything to, you know, the last meal I had, but you provided for me, or you provided free bread, and all of a sudden you take away my son. So and that happened after these things, that the son and the woman who owned the house became sick, and his sickness was so serious that there was no breath left in him. Nothing left in him. What's the point that God is trying to do? God, you provided food and now the boy dies in an illness? Is that what God is trying to do? No. Look at this in verses 18 to 24. So he said to Elijah, what have I to do with you, O man of God? Have you come to me to bring my sin to remembrance, to kill my son? And he said to her, give me your son. Here's the key. Now, the piece of bread, she gave it willingly, saying, okay, I'll give you the piece of bread. I'll give you the water. Not a problem. But now here it is. Give me your son. So she's hesitant. She's holding her son. Now you have a son in your arms that is in your arms and lifeless. There's no breathing anymore. What are you going to do? You don't want to give your son away. So what does Elijah do? He took him out of her arms. See, the Bible says he took her out of the arms, and then he brings him upstairs, and then he prays to the God, and God responded. Once again, he provided and gives life to this child. So, three scenes, same pattern. God's word speaks, God's word is obeyed, and then God's word it provides for the person. So here, the question of the story, what does it teach us about God's provision here this morning? So bear with me this morning as I get to three primary truths about the provision of God. Number one, we can certainly trust in God's provision because of God's power of God's word. We can certainly trust in God's provision because of God's power of God's word. The reason God provides is because he has the authority of all creation. He has demonstrated his authority through the power of his word. God speaks and things happen. God speaks over and over and over in making sure of God's people are provided for. And in this text, we see God speaks and commanded the ravens and went there and commanded the ravens. Here it is. He commands the ravens. And then the widow fed Elijah and commanded it, and it happened. In verse 1, we see, it's not going to rain until I say it's going to rain. God commanded it that way. So the first point that I want to make sure is we are certainly that God will provide because God's power of God's word. Don't you understand? In his word, there is power. There was power in his word. So when we grasp and understand and apply and obey the word of God into our lives, God's power is going to, great things are going to happen into your life, into my life, because the power of God is so strong. In this text, we speak about, and we look, verse 1, we've seen that, no rain anymore, and it happened. The power of God is to provide, is the only great as the power of his word. And the reason we can be confident that God will provide, because his word is powerful. In other words, we're going to say, some people might say, I can't trust. I'm going through a transition. I'm having a hard time understanding. I'm only understanding why I can't get better in life. Why I cannot get into another chapter of my life. Instead of getting the chapter of good season, it's getting a bad season of my life. Take hold to the word of God, because it has the power to change things around your lives. It has a change, thing changes around your families, around everything, because God's word is so powerful. Are you with me this morning? God's power of God's word. Philippians 4:19, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches and of his glory of Jesus Christ. Luke 12:24, consider the ravens, they do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. How much more valuable you are than birds. God will provide. If he provides for the birds, he will provide for you. Because the word is, how much more valuable are we? We are his children. We are his daughters. We are his sons. So when transition comes, don't be afraid. Don't act in fear, because fear will paralyze you. It will paralyze your thought. It will paralyze your thinking. It will paralyze you to go on in life. But just have faith, because faith will energize you and believe in the word of God and believe in saying God's power, God's word is there for you and I. Many Christians around the world, when are facing transitions, just pause for a moment and they start blaming everything else around them. But at times, God seizes it. God stops it for one reason. So you will start looking at the source, and the source is God. It's hard to take that. It's hard to take that you're making $1 million a year and all of a sudden, you're making $5,000 a month. It's hard to accept that. But there's reasons why God does things like that. Because we focus on the money instead. We focus on the job instead of focusing on the source. And the source is God himself. That's what happens in our lives. We put ourselves and start trusting a person. We start trusting the job. We start trusting our boss. We start trusting everything around us. And we forget the ultimate person that we got to look at is God himself. Because God has provided you that job. God has provided you that person beside you. It is all about God. Nothing that we own on this earth is not mine. It's not yours. It is God. So he tells us, look at the source. The source is God himself. It doesn't make any sense. You go, he sends you to a place of wilderness. It happens to us. It happens to us all the time. Why does he send us back there? He tells us to wake up. Don't look at the basic means of everyday life, but look at me. Look at me. And I'm telling you, if you look at me, God tells you, I will provide for you. I will make you overcome that situation again, that transition of life. We can certainly trust in God's provision because of God's power. Now, Luke 21:33 tells us this. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. That's God's words. So why not hold on to the word that never passes away? We want to hold on to many things, but the primary thing that we must hold on is the word of God. It's the word of God that we must hold on to. Because when transition comes, the word of God is going to help you overcome those transitions. And if we, when God speaks to us through his word, and we obey God's word, he will provide. He've done that. He've done that to Elijah. He've done that to the widow. And he will do that to you and I this morning. Number two, three primary truths about provision of God. Number two, we receive God's provision by trusting in God's word. The text shows us that how we can receive God's provision. The answer is faith. God commands Elijah to go east, and he went there by faith. God commands them to go to the widow to give Elijah bread and demands faith. Faith was being exercised. God provides through people who have faith. The word faith is important in your life. Through faith is always demonstrated by obedience. Listen to the word and believe what the word of God tells us and obey what God is telling us through his word and take that step out of faith and you will see what God will do. It's in everything, exercise the word faith in everything you do in life. If God tells you to tithe, tithe. Believe by faith that God is going to provide. That's the God. God tells us through the scriptures, tithe. If we obey what God is telling us, guarantee you 150%, he will provide. That's the pattern, what God has shown us through Elijah here. God obeys. God speaks. When he obeys, God provided. God provided. In anything in life, he tells us not to marry he tells us not to marry an unbeliever. If we do that, God will provide you a believer beside you. He will. That's his word. In many things in God's word, he speaks to us. He tells us to love our brother. If we love our brother, God will provide for you. It's very simple, but hard to do at times. Obedience is the number one thing hard to do. Am I the only one with that? Or everybody here this has a hard time obeying? Do you all obey? Man, I'm in a perfect church. What am I doing here? Everybody obeys here. If everyone obeys here, these chairs should be filled. Every one of us are in the same bag. We all disobeyed. We all failed. We all made mistakes. When God says to feed the poor, and when you walk by that poor, you disobeyed. When God says to uplift someone, instead we use them as shit. Just cut the legs off. You disobeyed. When God lets to encourage, instead we discouraged. When God says to uplift, we bring them down. We all disobeyed. But if we obey what God tells us, God will provide. Do you want the provision of God upon your life? The problem is, that this is what we got to do, is to obey. Well, God's not providing for me. But are you obeying God's word? Are you actually spending time with God? He tells us, pray in and out of season. Day and night, meditate the word of God. Love thy brothers and love thy sister. And the list goes on about obedience. And all of us here, including myself, have disobeyed to one degree. Lord, help us to be more obedient to when you speak to us through your word. Because, Lord, when we do obey, we know that you will provide. So we can receive God's provision by trusting in God's word. For another example, exercising faith. We look in Joshua 3, 7 and 8. I've preached on this a little bit, not too long, maybe a year ago. The Lord spoke to Joshua. Watch these words, this is extremely important. Exercising faith. Today I will begin to exalt you in the sight of Israel, so that you will know that I will be with you just as I was with Moses. command the priest to carry the ark out of the covenant, out of covenant. When you reach the edge of the waters, what does it say? Takes action here, okay? Stand in the Jordan. Go on. Watch this. Verse 15 and 16. Now the Jordan overflows its banks throughout the harvest season, but as soon as the priests carrying the ark reached to the Jordan, their feet touched the water as its edge. And how it happened there? And the water flowing downstream stood still. Meaning, exercising faith. If God tells you to take that step, take that step. Trust Him. That's exercising faith. You're going to tell me to stand right there in that corner there? If He tells you, do it. There's a reason why He does that. Every time, Christians, believers, God speaks to us daily. And when He tells us to make those steps, when we make those steps in exercising our faith, God will provide. But something as human, we are afraid to make those steps. We are afraid to make those big steps of life. But you have to always understand this. We got to put this in our mind. He's a big God. He's a big God. Now, many of you have left your countries and it took steps of faith to come here. You had to trust in something. If you trusted in a human being, you're not going to go far. But you had to trust in a person, a God Himself, to take those steps of faith. And when you did those steps of faith, God has provided for you. Isn't that amazing to know? When you exercise faith, God provides. And I can give you scriptures over scriptures. When God took the mud and puts it on the eye, it was exercising faith. When that woman went there and says, if I can just touch that hem, and when I just exercising faith, if I can just touch that hem, and all of a sudden the power flew out. It's exercising faith. Exercise your faith this morning to call upon the name of God and call upon Him and say, Lord, I'm trusting in You. I sang this song this morning, oh Lord, let it rain, but I'm placing my trust in You, Lord. And I know if I'm calling upon Your name and my prayer is sincere and I say, Lord, send the rain, the Lord will send the rain. The Lord will do that. That's the God that you and I serve this morning. It's not a Mickey Mouse God. It's a big God. He created this universe. He has created every single one of us here. A big God. A God who has never changed. Exercise our faith. Exercise it. If God tells you to take big steps in your marriage, do it. And you will see what God will do. It's God's word. It's not my word. It's God's word that's being preached to us. Trust in the word of God. We demonstrate our faith through obedience. The way we receive our provision day to day is by putting our faith in Him moment by moment and demonstrating it by obedience. Not the only way. Now, the only way that we're going to obey the commandments if we actually trust God's word. If we trust God's word, then you can obey God's word. If you don't trust God's word, it's going to be very hard to obey it. So when we refuse to trust in God through obedience, and when we ignore the commands of God, then you ought to have no expectation that God is going to provide. If you don't trust in His word, no expectation that He will provide. He won't provide. But if you trust in His word, He will provide. Even through our giving, like I said before, if God commands us to give, when we obey His word and exercise faith, God will provide. And it's the same as in all aspects of Christian life. The provision of joy, peace, is founded when we faithfully walk the path of trust and obedience. But whenever we refuse the trust and obedience, and we surrender that provision of peace and joy, whenever we refuse that, we're surrendering the peace and joy of Christ. Now, if we trust His word, that joy and that peace will be there. When we receive God's provision by trusting God's word. Number three, God will remove the means of provision so that we can come to know, experience, and encounter the source of provision. Here is the key point. It might be strange. Went there, all of a sudden, the brook is dry. You're feeding me with birds, and you took, and all of a sudden, the brook is dry. Why does God allow the sun to die? Those are questions that we should ask ourselves. After miraculously sustaining the boy, the widow, through the bread of water, flour, and oil. When then they removed the provision and just let him die, it doesn't make any sense. You provided the basic needs, and all of a sudden you take away my son. Here's it. The brook, the flour, the oil, they were just means of provision. It was the ultimate source of provision. They were just temporary means of everyday life. However, have you ever experienced this? Have you ever experienced that you are in the will of God? You're doing something for the Lord. You're there. You worship. You serve. You do all of everything that's the way it's scriptures. You do everything that's good for you as the best as your ability that you can do. And all of a sudden, God removes and seizes everything from you. Have you ever experienced that? Have you ever experienced a job loss? All of a sudden, it was so perfect, and all of a sudden, it just dies out on you. Did you ever think of that? Did you ever experience something like that? Or something is going well, and all of a sudden, God just removes it from you? Am I the only one who does that? Does he do that to me only, or does he do everybody here? Do you follow what I'm saying? Because some of us might be facing that. God has given you something, and all of a sudden, you lost of a job. You say, but why? God, you provide that. Those are the basic needs I need for every day. And all of a sudden, you're removing this from me? It doesn't make any sense, God. I'm doing your will. I'm serving you. I'm worshiping you. And all of a sudden, it dried up. And you're going worse and worse every single day of your life. It doesn't make any sense, God. Why is this happening to me? Because he wants us to look at the source, not on people, not on job, not on careers. He wants us to look at the source, and the source is God himself. Because what happens at times, we focus too much on people, we focus too much on jobs, and we forget about the real source, and the source is God. He's the one who provided for you, first of all. He's the one who provided. So it's not to punish us, it's just to realign us and say, hey, wait a minute here. Wait a minute, Robert. I'm going to do something to you. I'm going to seize everything. I came here. Like, I can tell you the truth. It happens to me. And it's happening to myself. I was in Montreal. I had a wonderful job. I had a nice big, I want to tell you the shift numbers that we have. And all of a sudden, God sends here, and everything's cut not in half, in three quarters. Now, I can ask those questions, but why, God? Why are you putting me in the wilderness all of a sudden? I was good. I had everything paid off, and I was relaxed, and I was enjoying my life. Nobody bothered me. Nobody even gave me phone calls 24 hours a day. I was relaxed, and all of a sudden, you send me here. It doesn't make any sense. God says, relax a moment. I'm the source. Look at me. I will provide for you. Just obey the word. Obey the calling. Obey that step. Do what I say to do. And you will see that I will obey for you. I will provide for you. And he has done that. And sometimes we look at provision is all about money, but provision is the family of God. God provided me friends. God provided me brothers and sisters. God provided me friends around me. That is rich for me. That is amazing for me. I love that, because you know how bad it is when you're lonely? You don't know what's lonely, huh? You have all those people around you. But when you're lonely, it's hurtful. You know the things that come in your mind? The thoughts that come in your head? You go crazy. God says, no, focus on me. Focus on the source, and I will provide. And God provided me a wonderful family of God. He provided me you for me. He also provided me finances. God is good. That's the God that you and I serve today. But the key is this, we must obey when God speaks. Some of us are called to do extraordinary things that we're not even doing today. We're afraid of taking those steps. But God is telling you, take that step. Exercise your faith, and I will provide for you. It's amazing how God works. It's amazing how God works. And I can tell you a story. Years ago, I was working. I don't know. Sometimes if I repeat myself because I'm getting older, okay? So it happens that I can forget. So what happens that years ago, I was working into, I think I did tell you this, but I will still tell you again because some of you might have been sleeping that day. But years ago, I was working and I was hiring employees for a company. So I'm sitting down hiring employees. This woman comes in and I said to her, okay, try this out. I made her try it. And I told her, okay, we're going to hire you. Just come back in 2 weeks. And in 2 weeks, we're going to start you for this new job, I told her. And all of a sudden, she starts crying at the table. She goes, no, I was saying to myself, if I don't get the job today, I will commit suicide. I says, Lord, help me here. This doesn't make any sense. No, you have the job, I said. You have the job. Just wait 2 weeks. You come in, and you're going to start. And all of a sudden, again, she starts to cry. All of a sudden, she starts to cry. She says, no, tonight I'm killing myself. It's done. It's over. I said that to myself. If I don't get a job today, my first day working today, I'm going to do what I have to do. All of a sudden, something comes into me to speak to her. Go and see her. I didn't want to listen to that voice. I said, no, I don't even know this person who it is. So the first thing I do is I call 911. I call my pastor. So I call the pastor. He says, Pastor, there's a woman that needs your help. He says, no, you have to go. God spoke to you that you have to go speak to her. He says, no, but I called you. You have to go. No, God spoke to you that you have to speak to her. Okay. Believer, just became a Christian. I had no idea what was happening in my life, that's for sure. So all of a sudden, I call my wife. Tonight, get ready. We're going to go to someone's house. Who's this person? I don't know. We just have to go talk to her. So we go to, and that night, we just end up going to her, that girl's house, the lady's house. We went there. She had a nice letter that she wrote down, that she's a forgiving letter to her children that she's committing suicide and so forth, A, B, C, all that stuff. She had everything that she had to commit suicide that particular night. She wanted to commit suicide at midnight that night. All of a sudden, I get there. It was around 7 o'clock. Speaking to her, I have no idea what was going on, but just obeying what God has told me to do. Obeyed. Courage through the word. The best of my ability. Remember, I just became a Christian. The best of my ability. I did the best as I can. We stayed there. We encouraged. We encouraged. We prayed. We encouraged. We prayed. She still wanted to commit suicide. We encouraged. We prayed. And before midnight, she just gets on her knees in the middle of her kitchen, and she repented and gave her life to Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. And that was the greatest. I had never expected something like that was going to happen in her life. But the thing is, you had to obey. I didn't want to obey at first because I had no experience. But then you practice it and say, okay, I'm going to go, God. I'm going to go. And you exercise that faith God provided. It might be simple as we hear it, but to do it is a harder thing to do. If God tells you to come out and get out of your comfort zone and start doing things out of the ordinary, we're going to think twice or three times before doing it. But if we just remember ourselves and remind ourselves that God is the source, if He's telling us to go and tells us to do or tells us to take that step, put this in your mind, put this in your heart. If He tells us, if you act in obedience and you exercise faith, God will provide. He's done it through Elijah. He will do it through you. He will do it through my life. The key is God's word always comes, always will come. God's word, if it's obeyed, God will provide. That's the God that you and I serve. He gives us the word of God for that. So we obey and He will provide for you and for me. God's mean of provision is to start, is not to confuse us. He doesn't want to confuse us, but He takes away sometimes the means, the basic means, so we can make us understand the source is Himself. Nothing else around us what counts is the source Himself, and that is God Himself. Week after week, year after year, the source remains and stays the same. Things around us change, but God has never changed and will never change. So church, don't resist change. Don't resist transition. We can be confident in God through provision because of the power of His word. We can receive God's provision by trusting His word. And sure, at times, God will remove the means of provision so we can come to know the source of provision, and that is God Himself. So when you're in the midst of transition or in the midst of change of life, hold on to the truth. Buckle up. Hold on to the truth, the Word of God, because God will provide. The number one source is, my friends, the people of God. Take the Word of God daily. Apply it to your life. Read it daily. Read it religiously every single day. Make it a habit. Read the Word. Not only read it, but also obey the Word of God. And when you obey the Word of God, you will see the provision of God upon your life that you have never seen before. We are breaking our heads. I am telling you, it's as simple as it is. If you follow the instruction of the Word of God and obey the Word of God, God will provide. Hundreds of people around the world are still searching for answers. I'm not talking about the unbelievers. I'm talking about even believers itself. There are people in the Word. The people in the churches today are still searching. They're still having a hard time. I tell you why. Because you forgot the most important thing is the Word of God. And when you take the Word of God, it's very simple. When we take it, apply it, obey it, God will provide. That is my encouragement to every single one of you. Study it daily. Examine it daily. Obey it. God is going to speak to people. God is already speaking to individuals in this church to make those big steps of faith. Once you do that, trust it's God's word. And once you do that and obey His word, God will provide. Let's all stand this morning as we conclude. I want to, if the musicians come up, I want to sing one more song as we go home this morning. I want to conclude with this saying, if you're going through a transition this morning, a change of a job or something in life, or you know the change, you know the transition of life, take a moment this morning and focus on the source that is God Himself. Focus on Him this morning. Every eye closed, every head bowed this morning. And I want to pray for you after we finish this song, as we're going to sing together. Examine the words of God. God's word came this morning to you. God's word came to me this morning. It's up to us now. Do you want to obey it or not? So I encourage you this morning, obey the word of God. Watch and see what God will do. He will do great things in your life. Some of us are searching for jobs. Some of us are searching for a better relationship. A relationship with the spouse, a relationship with the children, a relationship with friends. Whatever it is that you're searching for, obey the word of God. Look at the source. Exercise your faith and see that God will provide. Let us sing together this morning, and then we're going to conclude with the word of prayer this morning. In Jesus' name.
Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy. Be in Jesus, and to trust.